it's okay to start with that 1% that you're putting away and then just build it over time. It's all the habits, right? That it's the little dollars that make the millions one day.
Welcome to Elevate and Expand, a podcast where entrepreneurs just like you can find the community, guidance, and accountability needed to grow your business without working around the clock. As an entrepreneur, you're responsible for pretty much everything. But that does not mean you have to figure out everything on your own. In each episode, you'll discover practical frameworks and shortcuts that will eliminate confusion and boost your revenue. You'll also be motivated and inspired by hearing stories from other entrepreneurs who are on the same journey as you. I'm your host, Terry Rice, biz dev consultant and staff writer at Entrepreneur Magazine. Let's jump into today's episode. Suzanne Mariaga is a CPA and fractional CFO. She specializes in high net worth strategies for seven and eight figure entrepreneurs using the Profit First system. Suzanne is the CEO of the Mariaga Group, host of the Profit Talk podcast, and co-author of the book, Profit First for Minority Business Enterprises. Top takeaways from today: how to set up your accounts to trick your brain into budgeting, how working with a bookkeeper and an accountant can save you money in the long run, and small steps a new entrepreneur can take to set up the finance side of their business.
Hey, Suzanne, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Terry. Great to be with you today.
Yeah, same here, because I know we're going to be talking about finances and how entrepreneurs can manage those better. And I'll start by embarrassing myself. When I first started my company, I was getting paid as a contractor, so not paying taxes as my checks come in. And I was just happy to get paid, right? Because I wasn't making any money. I was just unsure about my business model and even my expertise. So when I got paid, I was just celebrating it and putting it in the bank and then spending it just as quickly, but not paying any taxes, not actually saving money for taxes. And the year went better than I expected, until I got my tax bill, which is around $40,000 in back taxes. So just by listening to today's episode, I know a lot of our listeners will avoid that mistake and just use their time and money more wisely based on the information that you're going to share. So I appreciate you being here in general, but do you mind just introducing yourself after that long intro by myself?
Absolutely. So I am a CPA by background, but I'm a fractional CFO. So I help businesses create intentional profit, be able to set aside money for taxes. So they're not, unfortunately, in that situation where they're trying to pay last year's taxes with this year's money. Now, Terry, I congratulate you for having a great year, because, you know, that meant some pretty nice tax brackets for you. But definitely we can talk today about, you know, having folks avoid that situation. And specifically, what we do is we use something called the Profit First method. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's a little bit different. I actually wrote a book with Mike Michalowicz as part of the Profit First family. And what we do is we help businesses really create intentional profitability, right? And what happens a lot of times with, just like you said, Terry, you know, we are so excited about starting our businesses and getting our first sale. A lot of times the checks are bigger than what we've ever saw in a W-2 paycheck, right? And we're so excited about our impact in our community, right? That we don't really think about, okay, what's the bottom line, right? Like, what do I want to be able to accomplish from this? And what Profit First does is it creates that intentional profitability through physics, like literally physics. And it's based upon a law called Parkinson's Law. And Parkinson's Law is kind of like that law of supply and demand, meaning the more that I have of something, the more I'm going to use of it. The less I have of something, the less I'm going to use of it. Kind of like food. If I would go to a buffet, I have never left a buffet proud of myself. However, when I go to hors d'oeuvre dinner and they have small plates, you know, I still feel full, but I eat a lot less. And that's the same way it is with money. You know, the more we have of it, the more we spend. And so what happens in Profit First is we create this illusion of scarcity, and we do that through bank accounts. So all the money may come into one bank account. We call that the income account, which collects all of your money. And one of the first things that we do is we fund our profit account. So we're literally creating intentional profitability day one, and we're creating that profitability and that profit account. We're literally transferring a percentage of our revenue straight to profit. And then the next bank account that we're funding is our owner's pay, because so many owners and so many entrepreneurs are focused on, hey, I just want to grow this business. I'm going to keep reinvesting in this business. And the problem is, it's always a catch-up game, except you never win, right? You never pay yourself. And so paying yourself, setting aside money for owner's pay becomes important. Again, we're transferring a percentage of your revenue into owner's pay. That next account, which you're going to love, Terry, is a tax account, because, you know, I always tell people, you know, if you're got great profit, which you obviously did your first year, congratulations, straight out of the box, you're paying yourself, you're driving that Bugatti, right? Then obviously you're going to have a tax obligation. No matter how great your tax accountant is, you're going to have a tax obligation. And so we want to go ahead and set aside that money to be able to cover taxes, right? Now, we're going to use great tax strategy, so hopefully we don't use it all, but at least we're not going to be worried about how am I going to finance last year's taxes with this year's money. I'm going to actually have the money set aside. And then the last account that we're going to have is our operating expense account. And that's where we're going to make decisions based upon scarcity. We create that illusion of scarcity. Instead of having that big bucket of revenue that's come in, I've got a smaller bucket. And this is where I have to decide, how much can I afford that new lease? You know, can I afford to get those computer upgrades? Can I afford to bring in those additional assistants, right? Because now I'm working with the illusion of scarcity. So that's a little bit of what I do as a fractional CFO, is create that intentional profitability and help business owners be able to mitigate those risks by creating and separating those buckets out.
Okay, so I'm going to quiz myself more or less. There's four buckets. The first one is profit first, as per the name of the program. The second is the owner pay, so how much money you're taking home for yourself to pay your bills and whatnot. The third is actually saving for taxes, which I clearly did not do my first year. And the fourth is your operating expenses. So it could be any programs you're using, your lease, maybe even a team that you're paying a salary to as well. Is that correct?
Absolutely.
Cool.
It's really all your discretional expenses.
So where were you in 2015 when I was messing up on all four of those categories? That's my next question.
Well, you know, it's never too late to start, right? It's never too late to start. And the great thing about profit first is that it's based upon a percentage of revenue. Mm-hmm. And it's okay to start small. It's okay to start with that 1% that you're putting away and then just build it over time.
Yeah, I can appreciate that, because I think some of our listeners are thinking like, look, I'm just trying to make a buck. And if you're saying save this, save that, like I'm trying to save myself from poverty, perhaps. But to your point, like it can just be like, you know, $10, $100, so on and so forth. Like it doesn't have to be a lot of money. But just getting in this habit that you're describing, I think will be very beneficial, not just presently, but in the long run as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's all the habits, right? That it's the little dollars that make the millions one day.
I like that. So let's get a bit deeper here, because there might be some people on the fence still. They're like, hey, sounds cool, but again, I'm just trying to make a buck. Are there ways that we can save money by being more aware and responsible with our finances? And if so, what are some of your favorite approaches to doing so?
So one of the first things that I recommend is just taking a realistic approach to your business, right? And I think that a lot of business owners, we don't take that step back and go, you know, this is how much it costs me to bring my product or my service to the market at the quality that I am going to be proud of. And so, first of all, it starts with taking that step back, sitting down with your bookkeeper, your accountant, looking at those financial statements and going, okay, this is my cost of goods sold. You know, this is how much it costs me to create X amount of widgets, right? This is my variable cost. You know, my revenue goes up, that percentage is going to go up also. And it may go up in proportion to my revenue increasing. Also, if I have to have staff, right? And if we have to have a brick and mortar, then we actually have to budget for rent there, right? If I have to have team, right, I have to budget for salaries. And so it's really about figuring out what amount of dollars do I need to bring in to be able to cover that overhead, to be able to cover my cost of goods sold. And now I can figure out how do I need to price, right? So that first step is figuring out what is a realistic price that I need to be offering my service and my product at in order to achieve that profitability. Because the reality is, you know, we live in a world that we're taught as business owners, right, to drop our prices as low as we can go take every client. But the reality is, you know, that's the quickest way to end up closing your business, right? And so first of all, just taking that honest approach of what do I need in order to bring that to the market. The next thing I would say is, you know, as you're going through that P&L, you know, what is the things I don't need, right? What are the things that really aren't adding value to my business? You know, sometimes there are subscriptions that I may have. Mm-hmm. I remember during COVID, you know, I went into the office one Friday and nobody was there because everything was closed. And I saw these lovely magazines that had been coming in and they weren't even open. They weren't even like the covers weren't even ever dented, Terry, because nobody was there. Everybody was virtual during COVID. And I was like, you know, why am I paying for all these subscriptions, right, that I'm not going to? Maybe there's some memberships that I'm not using to the fullest. And again, so it's just going through and cutting the waste, cutting things that I really don't need and don't add value to my business is a next step that I would do. The next thing I would do is taking a tax approach too, you know, like, what tax strategies are out there for me? If I'm having a great year, like Terry, you were having a phenomenal year, you owed the IRS $40,000, right? Maybe a solo 401k might have been a great option for you, or you could have put away $50,000 in your 401k. So instead of paying Uncle Sam, you're building your net worth. You're still getting a tax write-off, right? Because you're contributing to Terry's retirement account, right? But at the end of the day, the money still stays with Terry, right? It may go into his trust for his retirement. And so looking at how do I utilize tax law, sitting down with your accountant to figure out how do I meet my end goals without wasting money?
Let's stick with that for a moment, because you mentioned a bookkeeper and an accountant. Not to get too basic, but do you mind explaining what a bookkeeper does and how that can help us?
Yeah, definitely. So first of all, your accountant can serve as your bookkeeper. You may actually have a separate bookkeeper from an accountant, you know, depending on how your business is structured. But really, it's about getting good records, being able to go, okay, how much revenue did I make during this period? What were my expenses that I had to incur to make that revenue? And getting good financial statements so that you can make educated decisions. And so that bookkeeper is going to be someone that you'll be able to hire that can create those financial statements for you.
Yeah, and it's funny because as some of our listeners are tuning in, they're like, a bookkeeper and an accountant, that's expensive. And I'll share my experience with having a bookkeeper. There, to your point, there are a lot of subscriptions I was paying for that I was not using and or were redundant. So at times I was paying for two tools that did the same thing and I wasn't paying attention, because you know how it is. You get that discount. It's like, oh, your first month's only like $3. And after that, it goes up to $3,000. And if you're not paying attention, all of a sudden you're paying for these things on an ongoing basis without actually using them. However, a bookkeeper is going to say, hey, look, I have to categorize this. Like, what do you use this for? And then you might decide, oh, actually nothing. And I'm so glad I hired you.
Oh yeah, good financial statements can save you a lot of money, and just being aware, because reality is what we're not tracking, right, is really opportunities that we're losing. So what gets tracked gets measured, and what gets measured becomes profit.
So I'm almost speaking from my own experience. Well, actually, I'll say I am. Like, all this stuff is necessary. This is really good information. These are things we should be doing. But again, when you're struggling sometimes as an entrepreneur, you're like, look, I only have so many hours in the day. Like, this might have to take a back seat until next quarter, next year, whatever it is. What would you say to that entrepreneur listening who's like, oh, sounds cool, but honestly, like, just tell me how to get more leads. Like, what would you say to them when they're thinking of not necessarily taking action immediately on what you're saying?
You know, it's interesting because, you know, one of the things we talked about earlier was that opportunity cost, right? We talked about the dollars that add up to the millions, right? Nobody starts off with $1 million, but it happens over time, right? You put money in, whether it's $20 a week, $30 a week, depending on how old you are, right? And you compound that growth, that's where that money is made. And so it's the small actions that really matter. And it's also important too, as an entrepreneur, that you get the right help for your stage of business, right? Because maybe starting out, you don't need a fractional CFO, right? You know, most of my clients are at least seven figures. They go up to 50 million. You may not need that starting out, but, you know, but at the same time, there is somebody that services your community, right? There's someone that services that income level that specializes in that area. You know, maybe you're starting out with just getting a great tax accountant that works with small businesses. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, a great tax advisor will tell you, hey, got to pay your estimated taxes. We don't want penalties on that. They'll tell you about maybe contributing to your retirement account. and they'll get you ready for that stage of business so that you can set up to be successful, and then you build, and eventually you can get a fractional CFO as you grow.
Love it. So, Suzanne, as we're parting ways here, is there any homework you want to give to our audience to help them apply what they've learned today?
So I would say start small, you know, definitely start small. It's start with a 1%. You know, I do have a download that if you're interested in and in learning about where your target allocation percentages should be based upon your size and your revenue, what we typically see in a healthy company, you can go to profitmap.co and you can download that, and you can actually see based upon your revenue today, what is your goal percentage? But again, don't feel like you have to start there. Start small and then just build it and optimize over time.
All right. This is important. So was it profitmap.com or profitmap.com?
Profitmap.co. So we're talking about a map here, almost like an atlas, profitmap.co.
Got it. So I messed it up both ways, and I'm glad you corrected me. But Suzanne, outside of going to grab that guide, where else can our audience keep in touch with you?
So some of the best ways to reach me is, you know, feel free to follow me on LinkedIn and reach out to me, or you can follow me at SuzanneMariga.com.
Awesome. Thanks. This has been super helpful for me as well as our listeners. So I appreciate your time here.
Thank you.
Every episode, we're going to end with a next step, so you can walk away from our time together with one concrete action item to help build your business faster and with less confusion. So here's your next step for this week. Set up a savings account specifically for taxes. In the U.S., you'll transfer about 30% of your gross income from your main account to this account. And unlike me in my first year of business, you can be prepared for tax season when it comes around. And that's it for today. For show notes and information about our guest, visit terryrice.co/elevate. This podcast is presented by Verizon Small Business Digital Ready, a free community that offers courses, mentorship, networking, and grants created just for small businesses. To join the platform, visit digitalready.verizonwireless.com. That's digitalready.verizonwireless.com. And hey, if you found value in this episode, help us spread the word to other entrepreneurs by subscribing and leaving a review. Thanks for listening, and I'll catch up with you next time.